I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. Thank you, God. I want to, you know, it's an exciting time right now. Like, we really are in a season of harvest, and lots of people coming to know the Lord right now. People that aren't even here in this room. And we have some in this room, but there's a whole bunch that don't even come here on Sunday mornings, but they're meeting in discipleship groups and Bible studies, and they're coming to know the Lord. They're having encounters with God, and they're like, oh my goodness, Jesus is awesome. You know, I think this thing's real, and they're just getting excited about the Lord. And we're going to see a lot more of that. Like, our nation is going to see a lot more of that. The earth is going to see a lot more of that. And I want to encourage you to check out, here's what's on my heart today. And I'm just going to talk about growing strong in your relationship with God. Because God's goal is that we come to know him and that we keep growing in our faith and becoming stronger and becoming mature, and we become a blessing to others. Right? You guys with me? And the enemy's plan is, number one, to prevent us from ever coming to believe in Jesus. And number two, if he fails at that, it's to prevent you from continuing to walk with Jesus. He wants to pull you back. And he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve that he's used the same tricks for years and years and years and years on humans to pull people back. But how many of you know the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world? It's like when you come to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself comes into you and lives inside of you, which gives you the advantage over the devil. Because how many of you know the mighty Holy Spirit, he's God, and he's far superior in wisdom and in power to every demon in hell combined on the same team in one united attack? They're nothing compared to the Holy Spirit. And that's who's living in you. But there are, I'll say it like this. I've been in the kingdom for a long time now. I've been serving the Lord for 27 years. I've been in ministry for almost all of that time. I've led lots of people to Jesus, and I know lots of those people who are serving the Lord and their mothers and fathers in the faith right now. And then I know many others who aren't even serving Jesus anymore at all. And so I'm gonna from a guy who's been 27 years down this road and helped others do it, I'm gonna shoot straight with you. You guys ready? The reality is in 10 years, even in a year, even in 6 months, some of you will still be walking with Jesus. And it's possible others of you may not be anymore. And it'd just be a memory. Remember when I felt the Lord that time? That was really cool. It'd be a good memory. But it won't be a present reality in your life in 6 months. Now, that's not God's plan for you. That's the devil's plan for you. But here's the deal. You are the one who determine which plan gets fulfilled in your life. Do you guys hear that? God has a great plan for you. The devil has a plan for you. And you are the one who determines whose plan gets fulfilled in your life. I'm going to say it again. You have to get this. This is so real. God has a plan for your life. It's a good plan. The devil has a plan for your life. You are the one who determines whose plan gets fulfilled in your life. At the end of the day, when your life is over, the story of your life is written. The story of your life will be determined by two things: God's activity in your life and your response to his activity. Now, praise God, there's a lot of God activity that's happening right now. Amen? I mean, a few days ago, I can't even think of it all. I was just giving thanks to the Lord. I love that when I start my, get up in the morning, I just like to start with Thanksgiving. I just thank him for anything. Just because sometimes I'm tired when I get up in the morning. My mind's not totally firing yet on every cylinder. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to worship the Lord. And I'm not really feeling the presence of God yet. I'm still tired. I'm like, God, thank you that I woke up this morning. I mean, literally things like that. I'll do anything I can be thankful for. Like, thank you that I'm breathing right now. God, thank you so much that you're in my life. Thank you. And then I just get in a groove after a while. And I was thanking him for, thank you for what you're doing in this person's life. Thank you for what you're doing in this person's life. Thank you for what you're doing in Jonathan. I was thanking him for Jonathan this week. I was like, God, thank you for what you're doing in all these different people. And I was like, my goodness, you're doing a lot. I just felt like giving the Holy Spirit a high five. I was like, seriously, like, give you some props here. You're doing awesome. Like, you're doing tons of stuff. Like, I'm so proud of you is not the right word. I mean, you know, he's Lord. But I'm just like, I'm so impressed. I'm so grateful. You know, I'm like, you're doing amazing things. And I want to just read a parable to you. I'm preaching what Autumn talked about just a few minutes ago. Mark chapter 4. Did you know I was preaching that? Oh, okay. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And I'm just going to give you some simple things that you can do to make sure that you're one of the ones that in 6 months, in a year, in 10 years, and in 1,000 years, in eternity, you're with the Lord. Right? And so let's do this. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. Listen to this. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. That's exciting. Amen? I mean, I imagine, you know, I imagine him and his disciples were feeling like we're feeling last weekend. We're like, man, look at these people. You know, there's this crowd of people and they're all excited about Jesus because God is working. The Holy Spirit's working through him and people are getting touched. And it's like, this is awesome. Look at this crowd. And I love the heart of Jesus. It's like the wise shepherd. He sees the crowd and he loves it. He loves that the crowd is there, but his heart is not just that they would have an exciting moment. His heart is that they would be with him forever. And so he speaks to this crowd as a wise shepherd and he gives instruction. He's like, here's what you need to know to make sure that you're one of the ones who are with me forever. It says he got into a boat. They sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Now, how many of you know what a parable is? Yeah? Okay, like two or three? Okay, a parable is a story that teaches a specific lesson. So Jesus, many, many times you read and he's like telling these stories and he's doing it because there's a point he's trying to get across. And so he illustrates the message he's trying to make through a story. And this is one of those instances. He's looking at the crowd of excited people because he's doing miracles and he says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to discipline myself right now. This is so hard for me to do. I'm going to read this entire passage without making comments. And then I'm coming back through it, and I'm going to make comments. I'm going to read it twice. All right. Pray for me. God, help me. Okay, ready? So focus and pay attention on what I'm reading. Like, look at your notes. It's right there. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it did not have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So the farmer is the messenger, and the seed is God's message. Jesus said that a farmer went out, a messenger from God went out taking the word of Christ and sharing it with other people. And there were four types of responses among the people that he shared the word with. The first kind of person was the seed that fell on the footpath, okay, like on the sidewalk. How many of you know a seed that falls on a sidewalk? Nothing's going to happen, right? What's going to happen is the birds are going to see it. They're going to fly down, free meal, and they're going to eat the seed. But it's never going to produce any kind of fruit. And that's like you go out and you share God's message with other people. They hear about Christ. I do this all the time. I share the gospel with hundreds of people every single year, literally. I've shared thousands of, just over the last several years, thousands of times. Sharing the gospel with people. So I've watched this dynamic play out the majority of the time I share the gospel with somebody. It's like, you're kind of like, hey, can I pray with you? Man, I want to just tell you about how much God loves you. And they're like, most people, they're so preoccupied with whatever is happening in their life that they never think about the Lord. They don't think about eternity. They don't think that they're one breath away from eternity in heaven or hell. I'm too busy. Got friends to see, got things to do, video games to play, Netflix to watch. I don't have time for God. And it's just like the seed comes and the devil just wants to come take it away. But then there's a second type of response to the messenger. He shares the word of Christ, and the second person says, yeah, I believe. And the Spirit is genuinely touching their heart. They're like, I believe in Jesus. I want God. They may have an experience with God where they're like, they have a powerful experience and they know he's so real. He's so real. And they may weep. They may cry. They may feel clean. They may get healed. I mean, some miracle happens in their soul or to their body, and they're like, he's amazing. I'm so excited about Jesus. I've watched this happen so many times. I talk to people all the time in our city. I'm excited. Yes, I want to follow the Lord. Problem is, it's shallow soil. And so they have the initial excitement about Jesus. Woohoo! But they don't do anything with him. So they have that initial encounter. And then you come back the next day, and it's like, oh, yeah, that was so good. So good to see you. Yeah, I love Jesus. I'm kind of busy. I don't really have time right now to have another encounter with Jesus. Okay, no problem. Hey, why don't I just come back in a few days? Come back in a few days, and it's like, gosh, you know, sorry. It's just not going to work out. Got stuff going on, you know. And it's like, hey. And they never develop roots. And it's just like a tree. If you have a tree out here, and it can look really tall. You know, I have a friend who told us about, he lived in Washington State, I believe it was, growing up. And he told me about, I think it was a neighbor of his, who had the most beautiful giant tree in his front yard. And he, like from the time he planted it, he watered it incessantly. I mean, just constantly watering it. And the thing just really quickly, it was a huge tree. And he just watered it all the time. And so what happens with trees is when they go through dry seasons, they need water to survive and keep growing. You with me? So what do the roots do? In dry seasons, the soil gets dry, and so the roots have to press deeper to get to water so that they can live. Well, the problem is he was watering this thing all the time. It had an abundance of water right there at the surface, as much as it needed, so it never bothered. The roots of the tree never went deep at all. And a storm came, and that whole thing was just, and the root system was exposed. It was hardly anything. It was this giant tree, but there was hardly any root system to it. And so a little bit of tribulation comes, and it's gone. I'm going to tell you how to, when you're born again, it's like you're that tree that's planted in the soil of God, right? And you have that experience. It's like, oh, your first drink of life-giving water. I'm alive. He's alive. It's great. It's beautiful. But here's the deal. It's right away you need to start building a root system and becoming, so you can become strong and stable in your walk with Jesus. Because I got news for you, storms are coming. If it hadn't happened already, you're going to face trouble. You're going to go through a hard time. If it hasn't happened already, you will be persecuted because you believe in Jesus. And if you don't have roots in your relationship with Jesus, you're going to fall away. That's what Jesus said. Amen? And so here's how to develop root system. What your roots is, the root system within your walk with God, it's your experiential history that you build with the Lord. See, I can become a friend with Chad, like right now. I've known Chad since he was a teenager. Yeah, he was 15 years old when I first met him. So over 20 years, giving away his age. I'm 44. My age doesn't bother me at all. I'm like 44. I'm happy to be 44. So anyway, I've known him for years and years and years. But there is, like, when you first meet somebody, it's like, hey, I like this person. We're going to be friends. This is good. But how many of you know it's not a super deep relationship yet? You may have had a couple good first encounters together. But as you walk through life together and you go through good times together and you celebrate together, you have fun together, you're building that relational history. You have memories now. And then you go through hard times together and you make choices to serve one another and be there for one another and honor one another. And then it's like, whoa, now your roots are, your relationship's getting way deeper and way stronger. You with me? And those are the type of friendships, like storms could come and it's like, are you kidding me? You think I'm going to turn away from this person? We've walked through great times and hard times for 20 years. You think I'm going to throw away this friendship because he had a bad day and woke up and said something grumpy to me one morning? Because the cool guy doesn't like him and said, well, if you're going to be friends with him, then I'm not going to be friends with you. It's like, well, bummer for you. I'm not throwing away this friendship. And it's how it is, our relationship with God. Our root system, it's our experiential history we begin building with the Lord. Those first encounters you have with the Lord, it's the beginning of your root system going down. But you need to continue meeting with God and experiencing God. And here's how you position your heart to experience God. I'm going to give you five things. Do I have them on your sheet? Do I? Okay, write them down. Everybody have a pen? I want you to write them down. Number five things. These are five habits of a fruitful life. This is how to build your root system. Number one, read the Bible. So write that down. Number one, read the Bible. I want you to write it down because I expect you to do this. I want you to remember all five so you can do it. And when you're discipling a new believer, you need to teach them how to do all five. Read the Bible every day, every single day. Number two, pray. Talk to God every day, throughout the day. Prayer is not just talking to God, it's also listening to Him. It's relationship, it's communication with God. Amen? Number three, obey God. Obey God. This is a habit of a fruitful life. It's like this is how you build your root system, is you put into practice the things you're reading He commands you to do in His Word. You got to do it. You guys with me? I always, many of you know this, I do this all the time when we do Bible studies, when I'm discipling new believers. I always, whenever we're doing Bible study, I end with this question. Now, what's one thing you just learned in this story that we just read together in the Bible that you can begin applying immediately in your life? Because we never read the Bible just to get knowledge. Knowledge doesn't change your life. It's when you practice the knowledge that your life gets changed. It's a life of obedience. I'm going to illustrate how this has worked in my life. I gave my life to Jesus. I was 17 years old. I was 17 years old, and I had a girlfriend. We'd been dating for like over a year and a half, and one day, it just got to the point where the relationship wasn't really healthy, and I think a huge part of that was because I was immature and not very healthy, and I feel bad for her. Lord bless her and help her, minister to her, encourage her, and. But I was immature and unhealthy. And of course, I didn't know that. And I remember, like, we broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together. Anybody ever been in that situation before? So we're doing that, and one day, the Lord speaks to me, like, undeniably clear. So clear. I was vacuuming a carpet when all of a sudden the Lord said, Jeff, He says, right now you are at a fork in the road. He says, either follow me or follow her. Because He'd been speaking to me to break up with her, that this wasn't His plan for my life. And I was like, I didn't want to do it because my heart was attached to her. And I was like, oh, I don't want to let her go. I love her. I want to marry her, right? I didn't want to let her go. And so I was kind of I didn't know I was disobeying God. I kind of thought I was wrestling with myself, but I was actually wrestling with the Lord. And when He made that so clear, He says, either follow me or follow her. You're at a fork in the road. Then I knew, I'm like, well, if I have to choose, I can't live without you. I know that. I remember what it was like without you. Like I never, ever can do that again. And so I broke up with her. And I wasn't happy about it. I literally cried the whole way home from her house. For like 3 days, I was crushed, like broken in my soul. I mean, how many of you have ever had a broken heart? Is that like a terrible feeling or what? That's the worst. And I had had that feeling so many times by that point in my life. Hello, Jeff, get a clue. It's because I didn't know what I was doing in relationships. I was immature, and so I always got my heart broken, making bad choices. And the Lord, He just said, break up with her. I fought the temptation for 3 days to pick the phone up and call her and get back together. And then finally, it was like on the third day, I think, after I broke up with her, I was just praying. Why? You get your roots down. I was alone. I was talking with God about my pain. And to be honest, I was just crying. I was like, God, I feel like no one loves me, and which wasn't, you know how it is when you're in that state? It wasn't true, but it felt true. I mean, I had actually a lot of people that really loved me, but, that moment, I'm just like, no nobody loves me. God, I feel so alone. And I was just crying before the Lord. And he could have done the, he could have handled that in many ways. He could have said, Jeff, think about this logically. You're being all emotional right now. You got this person and this person. I mean, think about this. But he didn't do that. Instead, what he did is all of a sudden, I felt this super intense presence of God. I felt him wrap. It was like love with power. It was like energy, but it was love. And I felt it like almost physically, I felt it wrap around me and it coursed through me all at the same time. And instantly, I was just like, I went from the depths of nobody loves me to the heights of ecstasy, like, he loves me! I was so happy. And that's all he said. He was just like, I love you. And then he hugged me. And my heart was just better instantly, one encounter with the Lord. I was so happy. I got in my car and I was driving in my car through the neighborhood after that. And I saw some kids playing on the side of the road. I was like high on love. Honest, like literally high on the love of God. I was just so, have you ever been so happy you just don't care what anybody thinks? And I remember I just rolled down my window of my car and I was like yelling at these kids in a nice way. I was like, God loves you! Because I was just so happy about it. I was so happy about it. And the Lord took me through a journey and he's like, Jeff, I want you to just not date for a while. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm sick of this broken heart thing. Like, I'm so done with this. I just want to find a godly woman, get married, and never have to deal with this broken heart thing ever again. And so I'm like, I'm just not going to date until God brings the one. And I didn't really think through how I was going to figure out who the one would be, but I was just like, I'm so done with the broken heart thing. So I was just like, you know what I was doing? I was, during that season, I felt loneliness. I felt loneliness. And my response to loneliness before was to go find somebody else to be with. But now in this season, that option wasn't available. And so what I did is I put my roots deeper into Christ. And he would talk to me. And I'd pray about my wife. Literally, I prayed for my wife. I'm like, well, I don't know who she is, but wherever, I'm assuming she's alive on the earth right now somewhere. You know, I was 18 at the time. Praise God. I assumed she was probably born by this point, or it'd be a long time before I was going to get married. But I was like, God, I assume she's somewhere. You know who she is. You know where she is. God, I just pray right now that you would work in her life. Lord, help her to go deep in the Word of God. Help her to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Father, wherever she's there, protect her from the evil one. God, let no harm befall her. Let no weapon formed against her prosper. God, build her up. Let her go deep in her walk with you, Jesus. Make her the woman she was born to be. God, let her be full of the Holy Spirit. God, help her to discern your will. I really cared about this one. I was like, help her, God. Because I knew that if she followed God's path for her life, and I followed God's path for my life, eventually those two paths would intersect and become one path. Amen? So I'm like, oh, Lord, let her do your will. Don't let her get off to the right or to the left. God, please. I was desperate. I'm like, and help me too. Help me, because somewhere soon, I hope, they're going to come together. And I prayed that, and then it was like, and God did this work in my heart where I didn't even know that I had this gaping wound in my heart. Because what had happened is when I was 6 years old, my parents were divorced. And my dad left. And after that, it wounded my heart in a way that I didn't even fully realize when I was 6 years old. And I remember there'd be times I'd miss my dad so much. I remember there was a time specifically, I just remember sitting in my living room in my mom's house where I lived, looking out the window at the sidewalk in front of my house. And just in my imagination, I would imagine my dad standing there really happy, just waving at me. And I just, crying, I just sat there just in my mind, imagining my dad waving at me happy. And I just would cry and cry, like longing for that. And there was this like ache for secure love in my life. And my way of fulfilling that was I always wanted to have a girlfriend because it was just like my little patch job of finding someone who would always be there and always love me. Of course, the problem with that is I was hyper jealous, hyper insecure, always trying to, why were you talking to him? You know, all this crazy stuff because my heart was so wounded. And I'm looking at her as the source of my secure love. And of course, God knows, like, dude, there's not a person alive who can be that for you. There's only God can be that for you. And I was looking in the, to the wrong source to meet a legitimate need in my heart. You guys with me? And the Lord was like, I knew that you needed to get this fixed. And so he took me through that season after I broke up. And he began to heal my heart, and he became my source. My roots went deep into him, and he became my source for that secure love. So then less than a year later, it's about 9 months later, I met Autumn. For those of you who are new, that's my wife. And we've been married 24 years. And when I met her, it's like, yeah, he's still, to be honest with you, there was still work to do in my heart. But the work had progressed far enough where I was healed enough where I could be in a healthy relationship and be a blessing to her. And then, you know, because I didn't want to get into a relationship again until it was the right one. So I'm like, okay, she checks all my boxes. I'm just going to tell a love story a little bit. Gorgeous, check, double check. Like, boom, like gorgeous. Very gorgeous. Still very gorgeous. 43 years old. Gorgeous. I was like, oh, she's beautiful. But I'm like, yeah, it's okay. There's a lot of beautiful people. I got to get to know her, what she's really like on the inside. And then we'd have these conversations, like randomly, we'd like end up sitting at the same table of friends or something like that in the dining commons at college. And so I'm like, hey, here's an opportunity. She's sitting at my table. So we'd just start talking, and she'd start talking. There was like a missions conference going on on campus about reaching Muslims for Jesus. And so missions, reaching people for Jesus, I'm like, yeah, I love that. That's my passion. I'm talking to her, and she's like, yeah. Reaching people for Jesus, reaching missions. And I was like, dude, she loves missions and she loves reaching people for Jesus. I'm like, wow. And I just like, she's as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. I'm like, okay, now I'm really paying attention, Lord. But I still didn't want to say anything. Why? Because I am done with broken hearts. And so I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, would it be your will if I should ask her out on a date? Because I didn't even want to waste my time. I was so done with broken hearts. I'm like, God, if it's you. And I literally prayed for a long time on it, like weeks. And then one day, he answered my prayer. And he made it clear to me. He was like, go for it, man. So I asked her on a date, and as soon as I asked her out, she fell on her face and worshiped the Lord. No, I'm joking. She didn't. She said, thank you, Lord. My prayer was answered. Just kidding. But probably, I'm guessing that's what was happening in her heart. But but she said yes. So that's what happened in my heart. I was like, woo! Anyway, and 9 months after that, we got married. So praise the Lord. Here's my point with that side story is the habit of obedience. I never would have had my heart healed up had I not just obeyed when he said, you're at a fork in the road, follow me or follow her. He didn't explain to me, says, son, right now, your heart is so wounded. I'm trying to heal you and get you ready. You don't know this. You have 9 months before you're going to meet the one I really want you to marry. And you're not ready. Your heart is so messed up. I don't want you to hurt her. Like, I have to do emergency 9-month surgery on your heart. Like, right now. He didn't explain that to me. He's like, it's going to be worth it. It's going to hurt. But in 3 days, I'm going to encounter your heart. You're going to feel better. And then I'm going to start healing you. And he didn't tell me any of that. He just said, follow me or follow her. He gives a command. And if I would have disobeyed, I never would have got the healing work that I needed. And I'm scared to think what a marriage would have been like without the healing work he did in my heart. Everybody says at the beginning, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I think you're so awesome. I totally trust you. And then he commands you to do something that's scary or that you don't want to do. It's like, whoa, Lord, like, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Break up. Like, you and I both know that can't happen. I'm going to marry this person. He's like, I thought you trusted me. There's a story. It's a fake story, but it's a good illustration. It's a parable. There's a man. He was walking out in nature at night, very dark night. He's just walking along, and he doesn't see that there's a cliff. There's just a straight drop-off that he's coming up to. He doesn't even see it because it's so dark. He walks, and all of a sudden, falls over the edge of the cliff. He's falling through the air. And somehow there's a branch sticking out from the side of the cliff. Somehow he catches himself on the branch. He's hanging in midair in the middle of nowhere. There's nobody around. He's hanging there for dear life. He's stuck. So with nothing else to do, in desperation, he screams out to God, God, help! To his shock, he hears the audible voice of God answer him. Do you trust me? Guy's like, yes! Like, what kind of a question is that? I need help. Do you trust me? Okay, fine, I trust you, I trust you. Just help me. Then God says, let go of the branch. Everybody says they trust him. So finally, with nothing else left to do, he lets go of the branch. And unbeknownst to him, he was only about like 1 foot off of above the ground. He falls about 12 inches and he's totally fine. He's okay. Guys, obedience, the habit of obedience. Find out what God says, and I don't care what it is. I don't care how hard it is. Do it. I don't care if nobody around you is doing it. You do it. Because we don't follow other people. We follow Jesus. This is who we are. This is what we do. I'm not trying to be like everyone else. I'm trying to be like him. I'm not trying to walk in their path. I'm trying to walk the path he's ordained for me. You guys with me? And you have to have this habit of relentless obedience because he's good and he's faithful and he's wise. Amen? Habit number 3, obedience. Habit number 4, godly fellowship. Meet together with other believers regularly to do the stuff that the Bible says believers do when they get together. I mean, not just to like, hey, we watch movies together, not just to play video games together, not just to play like football together in the park. Those are good things. You can do all those things, but you need to have godly fellowship where you're meeting regularly with other believers and you're confessing your sins to each other. You're sharing testimonies and victory stories with one another. You're sharing your challenges with one another and agreeing together in prayer for God to help you get breakthrough. You with me? You're praying together. You're encouraging each other. You're ministering to one another in spiritual gifts. You're holding each other accountable for obeying the word of God. You're spurring one another on to love and to good works. You guys with me? Like that has to happen in your life. I've never seen a believer continue following Jesus for the whole course of their life without getting intimately connected with a group of other believers in that way. I've never seen it happen. If that doesn't happen, it's just a matter of time until you fall away. It's essential. You have to make it a priority. Because here's what the devil will do. All of these, the devil knows you need to do all 5 of these things to keep growing strong. And so he will bring distraction after distraction after distraction into your life to say, oh, I can't go to church this week. Oh, I can't meet with my discipleship group this week. I can't go to prayer meeting this week. I'm tired. I mean, today was a busy day. This has been a stressful week. I just need to take the night off. It's like, no, you need to take the night and dive into God. There's nothing more refreshing than that. You could stay home and you could watch a movie and you wake up with the same spirit of heaviness on you. But if you go to the prayer meeting, you'll meet with the Lord and you'll go to bed that night with joyful expectation of what God has for the next day. I've experienced it so many times. Habit number five, make disciples of Jesus. Make disciples of Jesus. The way the kingdom of God works is the more you give away what he's and share with others what he's given to you, the more he'll entrust you with. I've encountered the Lord and learned from God so many things in the process of ministering to other people. How many of you had that happen? You're ministering to somebody else, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, that really helps me. like, wow, I needed that reminder. Like, that was really good. Now, you're just ministering the word of God and encouraging them. But in the process, you're like, wow, it hits your own heart. And you grow stronger. And then you also experience this when you're investing in other people. There's a greater accountability to like, man, you know what? Like, I'm being tempted to sin right now. But think about, it's not just me who's going to be affected if I do this. I got kids who are looking up to me. I remember hearing this story. I read this story. A long time ago, there was a man, I think he was, I can't remember what country, one of like the Eastern European nations, I believe, lived there. And they were their family. His family was a Jewish family. It's like, we're Jewish. But then he got a new job, the father did. And they moved to a new neighborhood. And the new neighborhood, it was a predominantly Catholic neighborhood. This is a true story. A predominantly Catholic neighborhood. And so he wants to do business in a predominantly Catholic neighborhood. So he's like, well, I guess I'm going to be Catholic then. True story. His son just watches and comes to the conclusion, this whole God thing is just a farce. It's just fake. There's nothing to it. And he comes to the conclusion that there is no God. The son's name was Karl Marx, the founder of communism, whose chief tenet is atheism, that there is no God. When you're investing in people, people are watching you. Your decisions affect their lives, even if they never say it. It's not just what you say. They watch what you do. They watch you stand strong. They're like, okay, this thing's real. And not just your sons and your daughters, but your spiritual sons and daughters, your friends, your accountability partners. You guys with me? These five habits, do these diligently for the rest of your life, because this is how we keep growing. Our roots keep growing deeper, and storms come and test us, but we got that root system where we're not going anywhere. We're just going to hunker in and dig down deeper and bear more fruit. The second soil, Jesus says, I love that there's this huge, excited crowd because your miracles are happening. I love that you guys are excited. I love this crowd, but I want you to be with me forever. He says, here's the reality. In this very crowd, there's some of you that the words I speak right now from God, you're just not going to even take them in, and your life will never be changed. Others of you, you'll be excited for a moment. But in a little while, when I'm arrested and crucified and everybody ditches me, you'll just fall away because you don't have roots. Got to build your root system, amen? Then he said, but there's a third group of people in this crowd. And they're the ones that got thorns. They have weeds in their life, in their heart. And they may do the things, like they read their Bible every day. They're going to pray regularly. They're going to obey God in the big things. There's not going to be like, you know, any major thing in their life where you look and you find that they're committing adultery or some major thing. Like, they're going to walk the line. They may be in the church faithfully on Sundays, but they've got so many weeds in their life that there's like no fruit that comes. What do I mean by weeds? Jesus said it right here. The message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Just problematic, stressful, anxiety-producing situations. How many of you know that's life? You're going to have them. We have to learn how to navigate those anxieties and those fears in a way that it causes us to turn to the Lord to find peace to overcome those things, rather than letting those fears and anxieties dominate our decision-making. We have to have the Word of God dominate our decision-making. You guys with me? But then he says, it's not just that. I know people, they're so consumed with anxieties and fears and cares, and they don't bear any fruit in their life. Then Jesus said, also the weeds are the lure of wealth, covetousness. I just want a nicer house. I'm going to work. I'm going to have a nice career. Just trying to get some money. And listen, don't just think of the wealthy. Like, don't just think of like, oh yeah, the rich guy that works 90 hours a week. And that's him. Because here's the deal. It's so easy for us. My wife and I, at times, you know, have covetousness begins. Covetous thoughts begin dominating our thinking and our daydreaming, sometimes more than, I want to know you and do your will. Does that make sense? And we have to catch it with the Holy Spirit's help and say, okay, my desire for this is going down here. I live to do your will, Lord. And we have to consciously make the choice to keep him number one. Amen? The desires for other things can be, I need a boyfriend, I need a girlfriend. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a youth pastor for years, like my wife and I together, we did this. You know what I saw? This is like a pattern. It happened so many times. Young teenage girl comes into the youth group, has this powerful encounter with Jesus, falls head over heels in love. She is on fire. I mean, she's like, every time the church doors are open, she's at the church service. She's like worshiping with all her heart. She loves God. She's just drinking in the message, hanging on every word. She's like reading the Bible. She's like loving it. And devil's like, okay, this is not good. What are we going to do, devils? Devil's like, I know. Let's give her a new boyfriend. Guy comes. All of a sudden takes notice, starts flirting with her. There's an insecure spot in her heart that hasn't got healed up yet, that thinks that that's what she needs when she already has what she needs. And she starts setting aside Jesus and giving that first love, instead giving it away to this boy. And then she falls away. I've seen it happen over and over again. And it happens the opposite too. Guy gets on fire. Devil's like, hurry up. We got to give him a girlfriend fast. If his roots get any deeper, even that won't work. Or maybe the devil's like, man, what are we going to do to stop this person? You know what? Let's let their business get really, really, really successful. We just got to make him busier so he doesn't have time for Jesus anymore. The lure of wealth, all these things pull at our hearts. The devil could be like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Like, here, let's stir this person's heart to pay to, that they would have a free subscription to their favorite movies or YouTube channel. Or, hey, I'm going to buy you an Xbox. Are you for real? devil's like, yeah, I'm a nice guy that way. Now, it's not a sin to play Xbox. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it is real. The devil will use those things as a distraction. And listen, it's not just, oh, that's silly. It will literally cost you fruitfulness. That's what Jesus said. And we just have to make this thing, radical decision. Jesus, you are my first love. And throughout the rest of your life, you're going to come into situations where the devil will send people. He'll send stressful, anxiety-filled situations. He'll send lure of wealth. He'll send like a billion entertainment choices. You know one of the main things? I don't mind saying this. You know one of the main things the devil's using, I think, right now in the church in America? As a weed? A political spirit. I know so many believers, they are so caught up in the day-to-day, like the newest news cycle. And they're so filled with anger and anxiety, and it's choking out the love of God for people in their hearts. I refuse to let that happen to me. I have no interest in a political spirit operating in that. I do have an interest in government. I have an interest in our leaders and praying for them that they would have grace to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and not just do what is the devil is pulling people to do. So I pray for those things. You guys with me? But I do care about those things. God cares about those things. But I don't care about getting into arguments and yelling at the left and yelling at the right. I don't want to be a political spirit. I don't want to get caught up in a religious spirit. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. I want to be an anointed peacemaker. I want to have a voice that can speak with authority to both sides of the aisle, representing Jesus as an ambassador. And then there's one last thing. There's the good soil. This is what we want. Amen? This is what we want to be. And this is the person who, through a lifestyle of hearing God's words, you get your roots down, you read the Bible every day, you listen to his words, right? You're giving him your attention every day, and you accept his words day after day. Like, what are you saying, Lord? I want to learn. I got up this morning, I was reading the word. I've read the entire Bible. I don't even know how many times. I've read it so many times. I love the Bible. I mean, love the Bible. I'm addicted. I couldn't always say this. I always loved it by faith and enjoyed it at times. But I can say I am addicted to the Bible at this point. If I go a period of time without reading it, like we were just on vacation a few months ago, you're just like busy during the vacation. You're driving all day long. So I could squeeze in maybe one chapter or something like that. Or some days, none. I didn't get to read any. And by the end of our vacation, I remember I was starving on the inside for God's word. I told my wife, I'm like, I'm so excited to get home and just sit in my office and read my Bible for hours. Because I feel it when it's not there. Listening to the word, putting it into practice, and doing this is what's going to happen. You can't help it. If you'll do this, you will multiply 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. How many of you want to do that? I remember one time I was meditating on this very parable, and I was like, God, how do I be the fourth soil? How do I do it? I don't want to be the first one where I don't pay attention to the word comes. I don't even pay attention to it, and the devil just steals it, and I go on with my life. I don't want to be the second one, get excited for a moment, but don't put roots down. I don't want to be the third one that like hears it, but I'm so distracted that no fruit comes. Like, how do I get to be the fourth soil? I remember the Holy Spirit said this to me. And to me, it was so profound when he said it. He says, just make sure you're not the first three and you will automatically be the number four. Look, how do I make myself fruitful? It's like, just don't be the first three. You can't help, but like this is the nature of a seed. Like the word of God is powerful. It's alive in you. Like just make sure it doesn't get choked out. Make sure that you're getting it into you and doing a root system. Like just don't be the first three and you'll automatically be the fourth. And I can bear witness even in this season of my life, by the grace of God, there is multiplied fruit that's come from my life. I've walked with him now for 27 years. Now, I need to continue doing what I need to be doing. You guys with me? Those five habits. Because it would be terrible if 10 years from now, I wasn't serving the Lord and I lose my full reward. I want to stay with him. And this is the joy of life. Well, why don't you stand with me? You guys get this message? Amen. Guys, I just can't tell you enough how much it's so true. It's so true. If I disciple you, the first thing I'll be doing is I'll be training you in how to do these five habits and build a rhythm in your life where you're practicing all five regularly. I'll help you right away get a Bible reading plan, action plan. I'll help you get a prayer plan. I'll teach you how to pray. I'll help you get a godly fellowship plan. Like, are you a part of a discipleship group? I encourage you guys, go to my Facebook page, Jeff Mann. And I recorded a short, like 7.5 minute video earlier this week on how to start and lead a discipleship group. Everyone in this room, I want you to be part of a discipleship group. Because it's not enough just to come on Sunday mornings. Like there's like all the relational parts can't happen as deep as they need to happen on a large gathering. You guys with me? You need to have people that you're meeting with on a regular basis, a smaller group, that you're actually getting to know each other on a deeper level. And you're reading the word and asking questions and growing and praying together through things. You guys with me? And it's like, well, man, where's a discipleship group? Just start one. Like you could have got saved to like right now in a few minutes, and this afternoon you can start a discipleship group. And you could go and just watch that video, and I just tell you how to lead a discipleship group. Follow the script, and it will work. It's like super easy, okay? Like all of you can do it. How many of you right now are leading some type of Bible study or discipleship group? Yeah, awesome. So I would love like a month from now to have like doubled or triple the number of people that are leading discipleship groups. Because it's super easy. You can totally do it. Anyway, go to my Facebook page and just watch that video to show you how. And I want to ask this too, and then I'm gonna give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. But does anyone here speak Spanish well? I mean, good. You do? Okay. I would love, could you just like, if you have time, meet with me real quick after service, okay? Because one of the things I want to do is I need a Spanish-speaking discipleship group to start. Because we have people coming to know the Lord that don't speak English, and they need to be part of a discipleship group, but they have to be able to understand. So anyway, I would love to talk with you. Like, come talk with me after service is over here in a few minutes. All right, let's do this. I want to just give you an opportunity right now to come to the Lord, first of all. And actually, before I do that, I want to just pray. I want us to commit in our heart. I just want you to talk to God for a minute and just tell him, God, I'm in this relationship with you forever. And I'm going to do what it takes to have a healthy, strong, vibrant relationship with you. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey. I am going to have godly fellowship, and I'm going to make disciples. And it's like, even you may not be good at any of those things when you first start, but it doesn't matter. You just do it, and you'll get better as you do it, right? It's like any other life skill. But when you commit and say, God, I'm in this for life. So I want you to just tell him that right now. Which one of those five habits are you doing well in? And then which one of those five habits that you're like, you know what? This one's almost non-existent. I need to start doing this. I have on your notes an action plan for Bible reading and prayer, how you can start. And if you need help, come talk to me. I can get you going in like 10 minutes with a plan to begin practicing these things. God's called all of you to bear 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. All of you. You can do this. He's with you. He'll help you. If you're here right now and you've not been following Jesus, I mean, you've not been living for Jesus, and you're like, you know what? I do believe that Jesus is God. I actually do believe that he died on the cross to forgive my sins. I do believe he has a plan for my life. I do believe he rose from the dead so that I could live forever with him. And I'm sick of not following him. Like, I believe this, and I'm sick of not living according to what I actually believe. I want to follow Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you're just like I'm starting today, I'm going to follow Jesus. And don't listen to like the devil whispering in your ear, like, oh, you shouldn't make that commitment, because what if you don't follow through? What if you can't do it? Listen to this. This is so important. The only responsibility you have is to obey what God is saying to you today. When tomorrow gets here, you obey what he tells you tomorrow. Don't let the devil talk you out of obeying today because of the fear of, I don't know if I'll be able to do it tomorrow. If you have the grace to obey right now in the moment. So take advantage of it and obey now. And you begin developing your root system of obeying. And then tomorrow gets you, you're stronger to obey then. Does that make sense? All right. So if you're here and you're like, I want to follow Jesus. Like, I'm all in. I want to follow the Lord. I just want you to hold up your hand really high. Awesome. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to have people pray for you who are around you. And Jesus says, or not Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 2, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, a whole bunch of people said to him, okay, I believe, what do we do? What do I got to do? And then he told him, he says, repent and be baptized and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like, this is what we do, right? It's like, okay, I believe. I want to follow. Repent. You turn away from your sin. God, forgive me, and your sins are forgiven. And then you get baptized. You guys with me? You get baptized in water, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm going to do is, if you're like, I want to do that. I want to follow Jesus. I want to repent. I want to start following the Lord. I want to get baptized. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to have people help pray with you and help you do that. So why don't you raise your hand right now again? I know we had two over here. Was it McKinley? Okay, awesome. McKinley, how old are you, McKinley? 15. I love it. Praise God. I'm so proud of you. Like, honestly, like, a real work of the Holy Spirit is happening in your life. Like, a real work of the Holy Spirit. Like, I've watched this for years and years and decades. And I can tell when the Spirit's on somebody many times. And I've seen him on you. Last week, I really saw him on you. Like, he's working in you. So I'm proud of you for just taking those steps forward. Good job. Praise God. Anyone else? I had my brother back here. Is it Mark? Right? Awesome. So you want to pray with Mark. Is there anyone else that you're just like, I want to follow Jesus? Okay, what I want to do is I want to pray. So if I could have some people just pray with McKinley and just for the Holy Spirit to touch her. And then pray with Mark. If I could have some brothers just gather around Mark in the back, or even, you know, some brothers and some sisters, I don't care. But and just pray with him to just to be filled with the Holy Spirit and just receive the Lord. You can just put some worship music on.
This morning, everyone stand together. Lord, we love you. God, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for your working in our midst. Thank you for these decisions to follow you, Lord. God, we just declare fourth soil, good soil over every person in this room, Lord. Father, we ask that you take us from glory to glory this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all, and thank you for all of your hard work at the conference.